Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet, join this life on 657 AM.
Yeah, Nicole C. Marlin got us to right where we are with I Need You. It's 17 minutes after 4 o'clock and I told you technology can never be above me because, I mean, whomst I? Who am I? Woo! Guys, this voice is so new. We don't even know it. I'll tell you now before I introduce Dr. Amanda officially. Dr. Amanda has been gone for so long that even my system kicked him out. You know, I thought technology, only to find out, no, it wouldn't admit him because it didn't recognize him. It's like, who are you, my friend? I mean, have we ever had this conversation before? So I had to quickly send Dr. Amanda a new link to the same studio that he usually uses because... Because like I said to you, the system didn't recognize him. How are you doing, Dr. Amanda?
I'm good. Even better chatting to you this afternoon.
Do you even remember the last time you spoke to us, Jim?
It's been a while.
You have been traveling the world and doing things. It's probably been close to a month.
Yeah, I think so. I think it might have been a month. I think then I came back with one episode somewhere.
But Dr. Amanda, let me show you how far back it was. It was the 1 week you were away, and then you came back. I think we were in Berlin or something, and then you came back, and then they said no. I think you weren't well, and then the third week, I think we both just forgot each other. So today would have been a month that you missed. Listen, I was so sure last week I even said to Radio Pulpit family, don't worry, I'll make sure I drag him here next week. I wasn't powerful enough. I was just not powerful enough.
Apologies.
Great to have you back, Dr. Amanda.
It's so good to be back. It's so good to be back. And my sincere apologies. There was just so much on the go, travel, etc.
And there's only one of you. We always have to remember that.
There's only one of me. I did miss our conversations. I did my best to join. But we're here now. Hopefully a lot more consistently,
a lot longer. Don't hope I'm tying you down. Now, if you don't know this voice or you're not too sure, it is Dr. Amanda. And Dr. Amanda Chifolaru is the founding director of Superlead Advisory. And he specializes in strategy and operations, as well as leadership development. He's also a strategist, leadership coach, and author of Lead with Super Clarity. A globally recognized facilitator, he has moderated high-profile events and assumed pleasantries. And welcome back, high-profile events. So welcome back, Dr. Amanda. And we're really, really pleased to have you. Now, since we last had a chat together, Dr. Amanda, I've had quite a few reflections on just how much this series on building teams that thrive has already unpacked, you know, from psychological safety to dependability and then structure and clarity. And each theme has peeled back a layer on what it takes for teams to genuinely flourish. Now, before we dive into today's focus, can you take a moment to ground us again? What's been the journey so far in this series, and why do these building blocks matter so much for teams today?
Lovely, lovely. The series has been incredibly fantastic, and it's a topic very close to my heart, largely because the real work, the real impact of how people feel in organizations comes down to what happens within a team.
Yeah.
The real success of organizations, of big projects, you name it, it really, really, really comes down to the dynamics within the team. And what we then did at the beginning of the series, we went and studied and picked a study on Project Aristotle, where Google went to find out what makes a team great at Google. Mm-hmm. Just a reminder for our listeners, it's probably worth asking yourself the same question. What makes a team great at the church that you lead? What makes a team great for within the youth ministry? What makes a team great where you work? So Google found that there were five main things that make a team great. And we've been unpacking one at a time, largely because what they found also agrees with the many studies out there. The first one is psychological safety as a key foundation for all high-performing teams. This belief that within the team I'm in, I can speak up, I can take risk, even make mistake without the fear of ridicule or punishment. Mm. And as we discussed, without that psychological safety, everything else starts to fall apart because people hold back, innovation stalls, and trust is eroded. I'm just curious, maybe Luco, have you perhaps also been reflecting on psychological safety? Do you feel psychological safe right now with us?
With us? Yeah, definitely.
With us being
definitely. Now, I had to put you on the edge of your seat there. But yeah, definitely. Indeed. Definitely.
Good. And then we spoke about dependability. Mm. And that's where we asked the question, hey, can we count on each other to do high quality work? Especially when it matters most. The teams don't thrive just on talent alone. They thrive when there's this follow through, this deep sense of owning the work that we each do within the team. And I think this was your favorite characteristic of thriving team. Then the third session, which was our last one, which feels like it was long time ago, according to Luco, we spoke about structure and clarity within the team. We looked at how clear goals, the well-defined roles, and shared understanding fuel focus, alignment, and momentum for the work being done. And we also at Superlead have found that clarity is one of the strongest predictor of team performance. Hmm. And today we turn on the fourth element, which is the sense that the team is doing the work that's meaningful. Mm. The meaning of work matters. Mm. And that's what we're going to be unpacking for the rest of the conversation.
Such a strong foundation, I must say, that you've laid, Dr. Manda. And I love that we're now moving into the meaning of work, because it really feels like the heartbeat of why we show up, really. So let's start there. What does it actually mean for work to feel meaningful? And is this just, you know, a nice to have, or is it central to building teams that thrive?
Lovely question. And let me just start by saying that we, you know, as people, you know, we can't create meaning for others. Right? Mm, mm. But because meaning is deeply personal.
Yep.
But what we can do as leaders is we can shape the conditions in which meaning is more likely going to emerge within the members of the team. Mm. We can also create the conditions that does the opposite, where by the way in which we lead and go about our day-to-day, people feel like there isn't much meaning out of here. So the first point is truly accepting that meaning is deeply personal, and our role as leaders is to create and shape the environment and the conditions for people to can be able to feel that the work they're doing has meaning. And really at its core, this idea of the meaning of work is about sort of feeling like my personal contribution is something beyond myself.
Okay.
That what I'm doing adds value to others, adds value to the environment, and it's not just about me. Mm. With all the research, if we boil it down, is that contribution is to something beyond oneself. And this requires reflection to kind of just pause every now and again and go, hey, why am I doing what I'm doing? How does it make an impact in other people's life? A quick note here, a Harvard research recently showed that employees who pause for 15 minutes a day just to reflect on their work outperformed their peers by over 22%. Can you imagine just the power of creating and finding 15 minutes a day to just pause, reflect on what you're doing, you know, has that massive impact. So truly, this is not just a nice to have. This is a performance imperative.
I find it quite interesting, Dr. Manda, because just as you said that, I imagined one stopping for 15 minutes to think and reflect and truly challenging themselves if it felt as though nothing had actually been done.
Yes.
Because then that drives you to say, I don't need to stop for another 15 minutes and, you know, have done absolutely nothing, because otherwise ngifunani.
But also, you know, even in our previous conversations, this idea of creating time to reflect, of just creating time to kind of just go, hey, how am I doing? I remember even myself not long ago, kind of in my reflecting, realizing, hey, I think I'm not coping. I think there's a lot in the air. And then you kind of go, okay, let me just reprioritize. Let's think about, you know, what's more important, what's more meaningful, what can be delayed. And every now and again, one does these adjustments, you know, you find that there's good impact. And then what also that does, it frees you to focus on the task at hand, because you've thought about everything and you go, this matters and this is where my energy is going to be.
Yeah. That's true. Do move to the next one. So, you know, it makes me think about how easy it is for meaning to get lost in the daily grind. And sometimes the nature of the work isn't as glamorous, or, you know, the pressure's high and people start feeling disconnected. What can leaders do to help their teams reconnect, you know, with meaning, even in the midst of busyness or, you know, mundane tasks? How do they?
Yeah, and this is a great point, because meaning doesn't just disappear in a crisis, in a big bang event. It fades away quietly when people stop seeing the point of what they do.
Sure.
You know, it just erodes. It's a small drift, and time again, the work that was exciting, the work that, you know, people felt like, hey, I just got a job.
That's
in this
so
company.
True.
We make these goodies that help young people. Over time, that excitement and the passion and the meaning starts to fade very, very slowly.
I've never thought about that. Like you're saying, literally just dies down slowly, such that sometimes you'd even miss it, actually.
Yeah. And then the drive, not in this case, but the drive to the studio starts to feel heavier, and it just feels like it's another show. But what's required there is for leaders to start by reframing the work.
Yeah.
Because not every task is exciting, but every role can be dignified. So let me just say this: not every task is exciting, but every role can have dignity.
Okay.
You know, I'll give a quick story of a janitor who was working in a hospital. There was a father and the son who came, and they were there for a while. The son was not well. To shorten the story, the one day the father was out smoking and the janitor came and cleaned the room in the hospital.
Okay.
And then when the father came back, and you sort of say, hey, you didn't clean my son's room. And the janitor sort of kind of look at the man, and he realized very quickly, you know, he's frustrated. He's been here long. He then went on and re-cleaned the room.
So he had actually cleaned it.
For him, he realized he cleaned it before. But then, you know, it's just in the frustration of being in that environment for the father. You know, he was sort of wanting to pick a fight with the janitor who cleaned the room before. The gentleman went on and re-cleaned it because he realized that he's actually not in the business of cleaning the rooms. He's in the business of healing He's here to support the healing of this child and the families. And if cleaning the room again will give comfort to the father, that's what he will do.
Oh, wow.
So something. And so when you reframe your work and you start to see it for what it truly is, right? So the act of cleaning, you know, and might not feel like an exciting task.
Yeah.
But there's dignity in providing a room where healing can be facilitated.
Sure, I'm challenged.
It means sure. You are challenged.
I'm challenged.
I can see it in your face.
Imagine going back because, like you're saying,
I just wonder how we have replied, right?
Sorry about that. I'm saying, imagine going back to repeat what you've done because you realize it's bigger than just that work as it seems. For you, it's, hey, I go there to make sure I'm part of the process of healing. That's so powerful. You can go ahead, Dr. Manda.
Yes.
Sure.
No, but let's just pause and reflect for ourselves, right? Imagine how we may have reacted, right? We may have we may have proven the point, we may have...
Exactly.
All that fighting, you know, it doesn't help the family.
Mm.
It doesn't help facilitate this process of healing. So once we... Every now and again, not that we're all perfect, but every now and again, it really is a lot more powerful to reframe the work and kind of go, what am I doing? Why do I do what I do?
What am I doing?
And therefore, then there's probably no more fights anymore, especially with customers.
Yeah. No, customers can be difficult people. Let's be honest. True. True. Because the customer's always right.
Oh, I had a gentleman recently in my podcast. You know, he's kind of saying the customer's right if all the parties are coming from a right place. You know, sometimes some customers might want to exploit and et cetera. This gentleman leads a company in the hospitality space, and there they face this every single day.
Yeah,
the complaints, etc. But all of this just requires us to step a little bit back and reframe the work. And here the role is for leaders to reframe the work with the teams.
Yeah.
To say, hey, the team is doing this work. Can I take just 2 more minutes to reframe why we're doing what we're doing and why it matters. And why it matters today, to give us that energy to continue.
Very interesting, I must say. Now, we've spoken a lot about, you know, how leaders can help teams reconnect with meaning in the day-to-day. But zooming out a bit, Dr. Manda, what role does leadership identity and organizational culture play in sustaining meaningful work over the long haul?
So, you know, while sort of these daily practices matter and the reflections, this idea of kind of embedding meaning into an organization, it's largely stems from leaders redefining their role. It starts with leadership identity. And by that, I mean, you know, some of us might see our role as, you know, getting the team to do the task and produce the goods and the widgets, etc. And that's when that is the leadership identity. You know, these conversations we're talking about sometimes feel a little bit far-fetched.
Yeah.
But once leaders change their identity to sort of see themselves as meaning makers, those who connect people to purpose to create a more resilient and motivated workforce.
Mm-hmm.
Once we have that mindset shift, it's no longer just about keeping sort of the lights on and doing the work, but when leaders see themselves as the people, the magic starts.
You're back.
That's at the leadership, the leaders themselves looking at themselves. Now, the second element is it also matters that we create the space and the culture where meaning of work can exist. So, you know, this meaning of work exists in cultures which are relational, where there is respect and people, you know, are growth orientated,
mm-hmm.
where people feel exploited, excluded, disrespected. No amount of sort of paper statements and charts on the wall will ever make work feel meaningful. So by this, we're sort of saying, it starts by just those basics. And I'm finding more and more that these ideas of, you know, relational, respectful work environments, it's not as a given anymore in many places. There are just way too many people in work environment that feel exploited, excluded, disrespected, etc., etc. And in that setup, that's what we address first before we put up, you know, posters and our value statements, et cetera, et cetera. Anything else we do on top without this foundation, then we don't make that much progress.
Interesting. Now, earlier you touched on how meaning isn't something leaders can manufacture, Dr. Manda, but it can be nurtured. That made me wonder, beyond the one-on-one interaction and, you know, team rhythms, how do systems and decisions either reinforce or erode meaning? What can leaders do at a structural or at a strategic level to support meaningful work?
Hey, look, these are like big, big words.
Structural.
Really? You see why I ran away from you.
Can't keep up with my English.
I can't keep up. All right. So, on a serious, very, very good observation. Because meaning isn't just built in conversation, it's reflected in how the entire organization operates. The research from MIT King's College London and Harvard found that systems, policies, and leadership decisions all play a role in either reinforcing or eroding people's sense of meaning. So not only do we see, do we shift our identity as leaders to see ourselves as meaning makers, not only do we sort of cultivate this culture where people feel respected, feel seen, where there's it's relational, but we do need to look at some of the more the key crucial decisions that are being made in an organization. For instance, meaning is strong in organizations that recruit for values alignment, not just performance only. Many companies will talk about, yeah, here are our values, et cetera, et cetera. But when it's time to promote, to hire people and to make key organizational decisions, all those values sometimes and all the things that we put on the wall gets left behind. And you see it in organizations where even as they do their performance management, they lift the values of the organization to kind of to measure whether or not people are living in line with their values. I was speaking to one CEO last week, and she was telling me that, you know, she has had to let go of like top performers, but their sort of their behavior and their values were not aligned to how she wanted the organization to go. And then she has had to kind of make the call to say, yeah, you produce the numbers, but your behavior, your leadership behavior are not aligned. So those decisions, she will take the decision to let that person go each time to protect the values, the quality of leadership that she intends to build with the organization. And where that kind of leadership exists, that's where you find that the sense of meaning, the sense of contribution, that's where it thrives. So we have a role as leaders, not only to just to be meaning makers, not only to create cultures where people feel respected, seen, and valued for their contribution, but also to make key critical decisions aligned to who we truly are and our values. And sometimes even in an organization such as a church, you might find that, you know, a lot of the behavior that's misaligned to, you know, what the church is trying to do, you know, can be, you know, looked over for the fact that this person, you know, is a great worship leader, or this person, you know, is a great giver, or whatever it is that the person does. And in those instances, that's where sense of meaning gets lost. And my challenge to leaders who are listening to us here is, when you reflect in the last couple of months on the decisions that you have made that were critical, were they largely based on values, or were they largely based on just day-to-day performance?
Sure. Dr. Manda, you're getting leaders thinking right now, I must say. You're getting everybody digging into their brain. Where's my focus at, really? Because, you know, so much of what you've said today reminds me that meaningful work isn't, you know,
it's because you're asking all this big structural. It's because you're asking all this big and structural. It's Monday up.
So you're bringing your A. So you're bringing your A game. Oh, Dr. Manda.
Oh, we're trying to do this to get home and traffic. Luko is asking some big questions.
Yeah, we're leaders. But, we don't have time to be sleeping on the job.
But on a serious note, you know, just the. One of the biggest drivers of burnout, you know, volume of work creates burnout if it's unmanaged.
Okay.
One of the biggest ones is the futility that people feel when they do work, and they cannot connect it to why it matters. And to a large extent, you know, many of us struggling at work with what we're doing, it might not necessarily be because of just the volume. It might be, do I feel like what I'm doing is making a difference? When people do a task and it feels futile, that just eats away at a person way more than we can appreciate.
That's so true.
And therefore, you know, We could be laughing and doing all of these things. This matters. This drives what happens to mental health. If I'm gonna grind so much and it just feels like it's futile. It doesn't seem like it's adding any value. I'm just processing this spreadsheet. I'm just reporting on this number every week. So as leaders, we do have a crucial role at a societal level now. For those that work with us, to every now and again to sort of remind each other that, hey, what we're doing matters.
Yeah, that's true.
And that report you produced has impact. It's not just futile work.
Wow. Listen, Dr. Manda, a lot of what you've said this afternoon.
You can ask another deep.
A lot of what you've said this afternoon actually reminds me that meaningful work isn't just about what we do, but it's how we see the work and how leaders actually help others to see it too. Now, as we start wrapping up, what mindset do you think leaders need to embrace if they want to cultivate meaningful, meaning consistently, rather?
Yeah, so that's a valuable reflection, because meaning isn't something we deliver once and we forget. It's something we keep alive through how we lead, how we show up, and how we engage with each other. Yeah. The research that we looked at today, consistently shows that meaning is shaped by relationships. It's built in teams where people feel seen, respected, and connected to something that matters. And I want to just kind of just repeat this piece that, you know, the sense of meaning shows up in teams where people feel seen, where people feel respected, where they feel like what they do is matters. And if we were to do a quick, small survey for those that are listening to us, and say for your team that you lead, can your people say yes to the affirmative that they feel seen, mm-hmm. they feel respected, and they feel like the work that they do matters? Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping the answers will be a resounding yes. And if you also, those listening to us, you know, if you're asked this question, do you feel seen, respected? Do you feel like the work that you do matters? Maybe there's time, if the answer is not a resounding yes, maybe there's an opportunity to reflect. So leaders who cultivate that kind of environment, you know, they see their role differently. They see mm-hmm. themselves as a meaning maker. They don't just manage outputs. They guide and remind people about the purpose and why what we're doing matters. Mm. They are present. They ask deeper questions every now and again, and they're willing to create the space for reflection and connecting the work and not just delivering the outputs. And wow. I think that's sort of the challenge for us to reflect when we start this week. You know, are we connecting what we're doing to why it matters? Mm. And if we are doing that, we are doing the Lord's work out there in the organizations.
It had to be the Lord's work. It had to be the Lord. Oh, Dr. Manja, as we close this episode, Dr. Manja, what would you like to leave our listeners with, and especially those who are hoping to bring more meaning into their work, or, you know, to lead in a way that helps others do the same? And how can they connect with you or, you know, the Super Lead team to take this further?
I'll say this. Meaning isn't just a luxury. It's not one of those things that we think about every now and again. But I think from the conversation today, I'm hoping our listeners will realize that meaning is a leadership responsibility.
Yeah.
And that if we want our teams to be resilient, to be engaged, to be deeply committed to the work, our role here is to create the environment where people will feel that what they do matters. Mm. And I will say, as you know, I say this all the time, if you do that, if you can just facilitate and create conditions where people feel that what they do matters and it's making a difference, in my book, in my view, you are absolutely doing the Lord's work in the marketplace. And if people want to get hold of us, you know, they can write to me at mandat@superlead.co.za. Manda, it's MAANDAT. And they can also reach out to us on our WhatsApp number. Someone watches that number closely at 07-8020-0051. But until then, you know, we as leaders are called to go out there and do the Lord's work of connecting meaning to the day-to-day work.
I bless the day you realized that spelling your name was not easy peasy, and you made sure to always spell it out to her. Oh, I bless the Lord for that day. Trust me, I do. When you spell it, I'm like, yeah, that weird name. I also took a long time to get it. It was weird enough. Manda seems easy, but I think I found it easier to spell your surname than your name, because your name expected me to think a bit extra, an extra A, I promise you. But remember, I'm Xhosa, so writing Chifularu is very easy for me. It's Chi Fu La. Exactly.
No, that's the first time. I thought it was the other way.
That's what I'm saying.
What
maybe
Manda means, right?
Apparently, it means the same thing as Mandla, right? Power.
Yeah, so Manda is just the better version of Mandla.
Better version.
It's a cleaner version. It's an upgrade, but it means power, strength, etc.
It's Venda, right?
It's Venda.
I now understand why people always liken Venda to Xhosa, because why was it so easy for me to spell your surname? Manda.
Exactly.
You guys are just lazy to use some letters because they should have just put the energy, the DLA there, Manda. Same thing, same difference.
No, it's not just complicated things. It's just, this is a cleaner vision, a more professional vision.
Dr. Manda, thank you so much. We've really missed you, and this was really, really a great time reminding us to lead with purpose and clarity. Not just because, hey, we've got the titles. Otherwise, disaster in the making.
Lovely. It was awesome connecting again, and let's do this again next week. Next week we wrap this topic on building thriving teams. We will have done the five components that came out of that project Aristotle, and then after that we're going to introduce another fantastic topic that we'll do over the next set of weeks.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Dr. Manda. Really appreciate this moment, and have a great evening.
Same to you. Thank you, Luko.
Feel the pulse of the real life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Need a break from the hustle and bustle of life? Then tune in to Radio Bubud GLN, a brand new online station bringing you Christian content in English and vernacular languages like Zulu, Setswana, and more. Visit radiobubud.co.za or download the Radio Bubud app and click on Radio Bubud GLN to live stream wherever you are.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.